face with a silvery glow. He was looking straight at her. "What evil have you done, Tanar?" "I ordered that 3 men be shut into a room beneath the throne and starved to death. They died of hunger and thirst. They died and are buried there in the undertomb. The tombstones fell on their graves." She stopped. "Is there more?"
"Manon?"
That death is on my soul."
"No. He died because he loved me and was faithful. He thought he was protecting me. He held a sword above my neck. When I was little, he was kind to me. When I cried..."
She stopped again, for the tears rose hard in her, and yet she would cry no more. Her hands were clenched on the black folds of her dress.
"I was never kind to him," she said. "I will not go to Havner. I will not go with you. Find some isle where no one comes and put me there and leave me. The evil must be paid for. I am not free."
The soft light, grayed by sea mist, glimmered between them. "Listen, Tanar. Heed me. You were the vessel of evil. The evil is poured out. It is done. It is buried in its own tomb. You were never made for cruelty and darkness. You were made to hold light, as a lamp burning holds and gives its light. I found the lamp unlit. I won't leave it on some desert island like a thing found and cast away. I'll take you to Havner and say to the princes of Earthsea, 'Look, in the place of darkness, I found the light, her spirit. By her, an old evil was brought to nothing. By her, I was brought out of the grave. By her, the broken was made whole. And where there was hatred, there will be peace.'"
"I will not," Tanar said in agony. "I cannot. It's not true."
"And after that," he went on quietly, "I'll take you away from the princes and the rich lords, for it's true that you have no place there. You are too young and too wise. I'll take you to my own land, to Gaunt, where I was born, to my old master Ogion. He's an old man now, a very great mage, a man of quiet heart. They call him the Silent. He lives in a small house on the great cliffs of Rhae Albi, high over the sea. He keeps some goats and a garden patch. In autumn he goes wandering over the island alone, in the forests, on the mountainsides, through the valleys of the rivers. I lived there once with him, when I was younger than you are now. I didn't stay long. I hadn't the sense to stay. I went off seeking evil, and sure enough, I found it. But you come escaping evil, seeking freedom, seeking silence for a while, until you find your own way. There you will find kindness and silence, Tanar. There the lamp will burn out of the wind a while. Will you do that?" The sea mist drifted gray between their faces. The boat lifted lightly on the long waves. Around them was the night, and under them the sea. "I will," she said with a long sigh. And after a long time, "Oh, I wish it were sooner. That we could go there now." "It won't be long, little one."
"Will you come there, ever?"
"When I can, I will come." The light had died away. It was all dark around them.
They came after the sunrises and sunsets, the still days and the icy winds of their winter voyage, to the inmost sea. They sailed the crowded lanes among great ships, up the Abavnor Straits, and into the bay that lies locked in the heart of Havnor, and across the bay to Havnor Great Port. They saw the white towers, and all the city white and radiant in snow. The roofs of the bridges and the red roofs of the houses were snow-covered, and the rigging of the 100 ships in the harbor glittered with ice in the winter sun. News of their coming had run ahead of them, for Lukfar's patched red sail was known in those seas. A great crowd had gathered on the snowy quays. Colored pennants cracked above the people in the bright cold wind. Tenar sat in the stern, erect, in her ragged cloak of black. She looked at the ring around her wrist, then at the crowded, many-colored shore and the palaces and the high towers. She lifted up her right hand, and sunlight flashed on the silver of the ring. A cheer went up, faint and joyous on the wind, over the restless water. Ged brought the boat in. 100 hands reached to catch the rope he flung up to the mooring. He leapt up onto the pier and turned, holding out his hand to her. "Come," he said, smiling. And she rose and came. Gravely she walked beside him up the white streets of Havnor, holding his hand like a child coming home.
The Tombs of Atuan by Ursula K. Le Guin is an unabridged production of Fantastic Audio, an imprint of Audio Literature. Read by Gabrielle DeCure. Directed and produced by Stefan Rudnicki. Recorded at the Audio Literature Studio, Studio City, California. Edited, mixed, and mastered by Kirk Miller Digital. Copyright 2002, American Audio Literature.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.